That's a theme that we're looking at, peace. Mike from Micah chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. Yeah, as I said, it's a really beautiful text, and it talks about the hope and the anticipation of God's people in the Old Testament before Jesus came. And how we know, looking back from our timeline here, we know that that hope was fulfilled and it came into fruition. It came true. It was realized in the birth of Jesus Christ and in his earthly life, right, of Jesus Christ. And I think that's what Advent is really all about. It's kind of rehearsing, if you like, and remembering the kind of emotion, the kind of anticipation that the people, God's people, had as they look forward to the promise that is held out for them in the scriptures. And I think Advent is all about that. It's about anticipating. We are anticipating literally Christmas Day, but we are also anticipating the coming of Christ, Christ's fuller realization in our life. And so it's really a rehearsing of that feeling of longing in the hearts and the minds of God's people of Israel. And so for just the first part of today's reflection, I thought I'll just talk a little bit about Advent and then lead on to the topic, which is on peace. Okay. Advent as an annual practice, it comes around at the end of the year, four weeks before Christmas Day. As an annual event, as a practice, it started way back in probably in the 5th or 6th century after Jesus. And it began as a practice to anticipate, you know, Jesus's coming. The Bible tells us that just as he came to the earth in the form of the first coming, in the form of a baby, and lived as a man, in the same but different way, he's going to come back for a second time, this time not as a baby, but in power, in glory. And so Advent started as a way of anticipating that advent of Christ, the coming of Christ for the second time. And obviously, this was we are all doing this after the life of Jesus. So as we anticipate the birth of Christ, we are also anticipating Christ, the coming of Christ, the advent of Christ. We are longing for the coming of Christ and the fuller realization of Christ. Initially, we have to know that, we have to remember that Advent was not connected to Christmas, but eventually it became incorporated into the Christmas season. And today, of course, it has become what it is, as an opportunity to look forward to Christmas, sort of the launch pad or like the events leading on towards Christmas. I was just researching about it in BBC. BBC News was writing that Advent is all about preparing for Christmas Day, and which is true, but it's not entirely correct because it's more than that. It's not just Christmas Day, but it's more than that. It's beyond that. So the point being that as we rehearse and as we repeat this event annually, and as we anticipate and remember the birth and the coming of Christ, we are also anticipating the second advent of Jesus, the coming of Jesus in glory, in fullness, the second and the victorious coming of Jesus Christ to restore and to redeem all of creation. So as we think about Advent, we do well, I think, to remember that we are not just repeating and, you know, rehashing an event that happened 2,000 years ago. Yes, we are reminding ourselves of what happened then, but we are also reminding ourselves of the ultimate hope and anticipation that we have when Christ comes back in the second advent. So as we remember Christ's birth and coming into this earth, we remind ourselves that that birth, it was just an inauguration, an initiation of something. And the fuller realization is in the future, and we look forward to that. And Advent is a perfect way to practice that anticipation. So it is in this context that we talk about hope, for that matter, because we're not just hoping the hopes of the Old Testament folks or the prophets. We are hoping for ourselves as well. We are not acting out the hope of the prophets, but we are hoping for ourselves, for the full and complete thing that is coming with the second advent of Christ. So for today, for us in 2020, anticipation, our hope is for the fuller realization of Christ in this world. When I was in seminary, it was 10 years back, and I can't believe it's already 10 years back, but that's what it is. Our Old Testament professors used to tell us of this wonderful concept called already and not yet. And I'm not sure if that's still in vogue and it's still being used, but I thought it beautifully captures the hope that we have. Because in Christ, there are things that are already fulfilled, and there are also things that are not yet to be fulfilled and realized completely in Christ. And that is what our hope is on. And that is what Advent is all about. And I think that brings us to today's topic, which is peace. One of the already and not yet that we have in Christ is peace. As Nathan and Luke read out for us, it ends in Micah chapter 5, verse 5, the first part. It says, "And he shall be their peace." This is foretelling the coming of Jesus. Jesus shall be our peace. And so, yes, there's an already aspect in that. Christ is our peace already. He has done all the work that's necessary. He is already our peace. In fact, when Christ was to be born, some of the words that we use around Christmas is, he's the Prince of Peace, right? We say, when the angels declared, he said, "Peace on earth and goodwill to men." So there's the whole language of peace and reconciliation. And so there's an already aspect for sure. And by the way, just a quick note about peace. I do have a few slides that I want to show you just to spice it up a little bit. let me just get that. So this is two paintings that I came across. The first one is obviously I'm trying to portray Advent in its imagery. The first painting is a Thai painting, a painting from Thailand, and I found it very fascinating because it's just different, and it's a depiction in Thai art, and obviously Advent is about that, anticipating and rehearsing that anticipation of the birth of Christ and the great jubilant joy and excitement that Christ is born. But the second painting also is Advent, the anticipation of Christ. By the way, this painting, the second painting, is called Jesus Preaches to the Choir. And it's not quite about the second Advent, but I thought it portrays the kind of vividness that will be when Christ returns and when Christ is fully realized. And so Advent is really about these two aspects, the already and not yet. But let me just quickly go to this. So this, the already and not yet. Just a few quick words about peace. Peace in English, it has been often been simply translated as the absence of conflict, the absence of warfare or tension or strife. But when we look at the Hebrew word shalom, which you can see in the slide here, it has more meanings than that. It's more than just the absence of warfare. It has the notion of wholeness, of the absence of disorder, absence of disruption. A word that I like is harmony, right? Almost like a musical band. When the band is in sync, there's the beat is on time, the chords are all in sync, the harmonies are all aligned, and the vocals are all going right. That is a picture of shalom, of wholeness. Just the general wholeness, wholesomeness, and general well-being. That's what shalom means. And of course, it has also to do with relational aspects. Reconciliation, for example, between two parties or two individuals. Restoration between two warring groups. And here's one text that comes to mind when I think about shalom. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 3, and then from 6 to 9 as well. So it's a bit of a read, but I invite you to follow along with me. Again, this foretelling of the coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." This is about Christ. And this is the image of what I think in my mind is shalom, okay? in verse 6, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand inside into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. I'm not sure which parent would be willing to put that to the test, but I find this as a really powerful depiction of a world in which there is shalom, there is peace, there is harmony. And again, in the light of all these pictures of harmony and peace and wholeness, I look at my own life, and as I was reflecting on for this sermon, I looked at my own life and how do I feel in my life with regard to shalom? And to be honest, frankly, things could be better, right? And maybe that's just me, I don't know, but do I have peace and shalom, wholeness in my life right now? Frankly, things could be better, right? I mean, I don't even need to go into the personal aspects. There's political strife all around. There's ethnic tensions. There's communal tensions. And there's the disease. There's we are all struck by that pandemic. This is not the peace that we would have thought would be, right? This is not the wholesomeness that we would have wished. And by the way, hopefully we can gather on Tuesday for the prayer meeting and pray for some of these lack of peace that we see around us. And I'll be sending out the prayer points on along those lines too. But we look at our lives and frankly, things could be better. I think that's because of the already and not yet. Even though we have what Christ brings for us, there's also the element that that still is yet to be. And I want to invite and suggest that we do these three things as we think about Advent. Firstly, we remember. Secondly, we anticipate. And thirdly, we participate. Firstly, remember. We remember the good news. We remember that in Christ, there is an already aspect that we have been made, brought into a position of peace with God. We have shalom with God. And that has to do with sin, yes. It was sin that broke away our communion with God. But also it has to do with the knowledge of God. We have the capacity, because of Christ, to know God. Christ is the revelation of God, ultimate revelation of God. Through Him, He has opened Himself to us that we may know Him. And that is the ultimate shalom that we have with God, the peace with God. But not just peace with God, we have peace with one another. Because of sin, the social fabric of our world was broken, and now it has been restored. And to put it in a short way, just like Galatians said, there's no more Greek, no more Jew, no more male, no more female. There's all the divisions that existed are broken down, and we are one. We are the body, one body of Christ. So Christ has reconciled all of us into one body, into one one identity. So we have peace with other one another as well. We also have peace within ourselves. We have, because of Christ, we can fully hope to come to a to experience our fuller destiny of who we are meant to be, as image bearers, as image of God. We have peace within ourselves, not just with ourselves, but we also have peace with the world, with creation, with nature. When you read Isaiah 11, the text that we just read some minutes ago, you can't avoid that there's the language of nature and earth, and there's animals, and there's creatures involved in that. And it seems to indicate that this peace that's coming is also a peace with the world. Of course, we see that in Romans as well, but I don't need to go into rehearse all the texts for that. I think I just want to tell the point as it is, that we have peace with the world as well, with the creation, with nature. So if we have all this, we remember all these things, and we believe that we have this peace, why do we feel not at peace then? Why do we so feel not at peace in this world? I think it's because there's still an element that is yet to come, and that is where we anticipate. we look forward and we hope, we wait for the fuller realization of this peace. Yes, peace with God. We all, I think if you're honest, we all admit that we, to put it simply, there are miles to go in terms of our relationship with God. And the fuller realization of the peace with God, we anticipate that in with the coming of Christ. The fuller realization of the peace with one another. In this world, we live with conflicts. We live with we live in the midst of warfare and ethnic political tension. We anticipate the end of all that. We anticipate the fuller realization of peace within ourselves, where we are not at war with our own selves, but we are, we have realized our fuller humanity, our fuller destiny. And finally, we anticipate the peace with the world. It's no secret, we are aware of the ecological imbalance that that confronts us in the news and even in our life. And we, Advent longing is about anticipating for that peace and shalom to be restored. But the wonderful thing about our calling in Christ is that we are not called simply to just be passive observers. We are called to participate in bringing this peace in this world. We are called to be participants. We are called to participate in proclaiming the good news to ourselves, to one another, of the peace that we have with God, the peace that we have with one another. But not just in speaking, but in building peace, building shalom around us in our world. And I think that's where each of us have our roles to play, to usher in, to inaugurate more order, I guess, more peace, more shalom in each other's lives, or in our neighborhood, or in our houses. We participate in bringing that peace as well in our world. So we anticipate, we remember, we anticipate, and we participate in bringing this wholeness in Christ. And as we remember the advent of the Prince of Peace during this Christmas season, I invite you to also consider in what ways we can participate in this fuller realization and fuller fulfillment of peace in our world today. So I would like to invite you finally to just read one more text from Isaiah 40. And as we read, can I just ask you to, like, it's, you're all muted anyway, so if you could just read with me, I hope that's okay. Read with me, and as we read this, we remember that we are called to remember, to anticipate, and to participate in bringing peace in our world, especially remember that in light of Advent season. So let's read this together. Isaiah 40:1-5. Let's read. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double of for all her sins. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Verse 9, "You who bring good news to Zion, go up to on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young."